Today is part 9 in the series, Healing the Brokenhearted. Last week, we were talking about the mindset of somebody who's believing for healing, inner healing now. Your mindset is absolutely critical because you have to be willing to accept that God wants you healed. You have to be willing to believe this. And if you don't, well, therein lies a major problem. Again, the foundational passage in this whole series, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted," among other things. But He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. And again, as I've stressed throughout this series, where it says He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, that means heal. Not just help you get through it, but heal. And once you're healed, that's it. It's over. There is no more brokenness related to whatever produced the depression or anxiety or the broken heart. It's over. You're healed. And in the body of Christ, too many people struggle with that concept because many times we're led to believe that thinking that you can be completely healed of brokenness is a form of denial. Well, again, this isn't about denial. Whatever happened, happened. I mean, we acknowledge it happened. But what we also have to acknowledge is the fact that the Spirit of the Lord anointed Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. Therefore, if we submit to this work, we can experience the fullness of that healing. Well, today we want to carry forward this concept of our mindset and talk about developing a believing mind. Every one of us in here, we are living what we think. See, there are people, you came here today because something in you thought you wanted to be here. Even if somebody threatened you if you didn't come, you thought, well, it's better for me to go there than experience what it is they're threatening me with. But for some reason in your mind, you developed a mindset, a thought process of be there at church. People who aren't here today. Now, there are some that aren't here for legitimate reasons, but then there are others who aren't here that maybe the reason's not so legitimate. In their minds, they developed a thought process that led them to the conclusion that it was to their benefit not to be here. The benefit of being here was outweighed by the perceived benefit of not being here. So, in other words, again, we are all living what we think. There are a lot of people out there, and I know there are a lot of folks watching this. Let me just kind of interject something here. The more the audience increases, the harder it is to say something that somebody is not going to get upset over. You understand this? So, new rule. I say nothing to upset people on purpose. Okay? But I said that to say this. There are a lot of people out there in this economy right now struggling as far as employment is concerned. So they begin developing a mindset, I can't find a job. Well, I've heard of people getting jobs here in the last couple of months. Decent jobs. So the jobs are out there. Yes, but I can't find a job. Well, as long as you think that, you know what? You're not going to find a job. Until your attitude about it begins to change and you begin to realize, okay, look, God's promised to meet my needs, and one way He does that is to provide employment for people, or in other words, to lead and guide them to a place that will hire. You need to understand that. We are living what we think. If we think, we cannot be healed. If we think, we cannot have peace. If we think that we're going to live with a broken heart the rest of our lives, if we think we cannot overcome this, we will live this way. If we think we're going to have to be on psychotropic medication the rest of our lives, that's what we'll do. That is the path that we will walk. Every one of us is living what we think. No, Brother Martin, I'm living what I believe. No, you're not. You're living what you think. Because if you think praying in tongues will make a difference in your life, you will pray in tongues. Yes, but I believe in praying in tongues. Hallelujah, so do I. Are you doing it? If you're not doing it, then you don't think you need to. If you think you need to, you will do what you claim you believe. So, we have programmed our mind, or our mind has been programmed, and generally speaking, it's programmed by four different things, especially in this area of brokenness now. Events, the bad things that have happened, whatever they are. Therapists, group or individual. Because look, if you get in an environment where a therapist who's trying to help you continues to reinforce the struggle by virtue of the structure of the therapy. You say, well, how is that possible? Example. Sir, you know, Joe, you need to think now. You need to think. Who was it that hurt you? Go back in your past. Let me turn the lights down, light a couple of candles, and I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think, go back to your childhood. I'm not making this up. This is how some of it works in Christian therapy. And so what's happening is the therapist thinks I'm helping Joe, when in reality, the therapist is pointing Joe back to events. And remember I talked in our message about dealing with your past. You don't have to go back and relive. You just acknowledge, okay, something happened. People are trying to figure out, you know, well, what caused this or why did that take place? So what difference does it make? I mean, as far as your brokenness is concerned, the cause of the event is not as important as you making a determination to receive what God's trying to do in your life as far as the healing of the brokenness. I can tell you this for a fact. Every time I've had to deal with my own issues, I cannot remember one time where God said, Jim, sit down and think about all of your past and what happened back there. I can't remember that. Unless He wants to bring something up and say, remember that? Okay, let me tell you such and such about that and thus. But when it comes to, you know, going beyond where I am, I can't remember Him ever doing that. So, friends, if you've got a circle of friends that keep telling you how bad it is, if you've got a circle of friends that will not speak God's life into your life, but will only speak, now listen to me, will only speak the event and, well, just wanted to know how you're feeling today. I know you're fighting this. I know you're going through a battle. I know it's hard for you. I know it's... Now see, on the surface, some of these things sound good. But I don't want my depression reinforced by your words. I want... If you're going to help me... Remember this? There was a song that we used to sing years ago. Well, maybe you didn't, but I did in church. Some of you will remember it. I forget exactly how it went. Something about wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. It was an old hymn. And I may not have gotten that exactly right. But see, if you want to help me, you need to speak wonderful words of life into my life. We all know that, you know, something's happened, but I don't want to be reminded of that. And then also reading self-help books. So many of these self-help books, they're not as self-help as what you'd think. Because if they're not trying to help you, if what is written in those books is not trying to help you, and they, meaning that they don't line up with what God has said in His Word, they're not helping you. Yeah, but I feel better. Yeah, well, anybody can put a Band-Aid over a cut. But putting a Band-Aid over an infected cut does not cause the infection to go away. It just covers it up while the infection gets worse. Then you go to the doctor. I don't understand. I put a Band-Aid on it. That's supposed to work. The doctor says, you need a little more than just a Band-Aid. We need to get some medicine in that. We need to deal with it. Well, the Bible kind of says God's Word's like a medicine. It helps us. So our mind has been programmed to think, and we're living what we think. Now, when it comes to brokenness, people who are continually living in brokenness, regardless of the event of their life, then what's happened is they've been programmed to think brokenness. Because if you're not programmed to think brokenness, you're not going to think it. But they've been programmed to think that way. You go to a therapist. The therapist says, well, you need these pills. Okay, now I think I need the pills. And when the prescription runs low, oh no, I got to call and get a refill on my pills. Why? Therapist said I need them so I can cope every day. Well, remember, we talked about how God wants to get us to the place to where we conquer. We don't just cope. We want to live in victory. This is what God wants. Brokenness is not of God. Now listen, brokenness is not of God, and thus it is not of your born-again spirit. A broken heart cannot be birthed out of a born-again spirit. It's impossible.
Well, how do you figure that?
Your born-again spirit has been born again with the life of God. And there is nothing depressing in the life of God. We've talked about this already. The problem is, So many Christians are dominated by brokenness. Well, brokenness can only dominate if your spirit is forced into subjection to your soul. Brokenness can only dominate if your spirit, your born-again spirit, the house of God's life in you, if it is forced into subjection to the soul. Because remember, we shared earlier that your born-again spirit is a place through which God wants to flow His life into your life. Now, if God's wanting to flow His life into your life through your born-again spirit, then the only way that's not going to happen is if it is suppressed and then the soul is exalted above it. And this is one of the things that you're going to find with a lot of Christians, and herein lies a major struggle. It would not matter to some Christians going through, you know, their therapy and their depression, their anxiety and all these kind of things, to sit with them and go through the Word of God and just keep showing them from the Word of God. Keep showing them, now listen to what I just said, from the Word of God. What God has said about this, about the healing, about the deliverance, and on and on. Just keep showing them over and over again. They come back with, but you don't understand, but you don't understand, but you don't understand. But what I'm going through is, but what I'm facing is, but what I have is, but what I... And again, what's happened is they've been so programmed. I'll just be honest with you. In some cases, they're so blind to the fullness of the truth of God's Word relative to the healing of their broken heart or their depression, you know, whatever it would be, that unless there's almost some sort of encounter that is supernatural, birthed out of the prayers of other people, they are a lost cause forever until the Lord comes back. Because if they're not going to respond to the Word of God and they're not going to respond to the counsel that God gives out of His Word, there is absolutely nothing you can do but pray. And if they have become so blinded and deceived in their thinking about, quote, their condition. And isn't that what people talk about? My problem, my condition. You gotta, what is your condition? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That is your condition from the perspective of God. Well, God has delivered me. I mean, we see these things in the Word. God's perspective is, from his vantage point, is the reality of our condition. And what we're actually doing is creating a false reality for ourselves. Listen, if you're born again, man, you are a child of Almighty God. That is your reality. And in His kingdom, the kingdom of God, Bible says we've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In the kingdom of God's dear Son, there is no depression. There is no anxiety. It's not there. So in order for us, if we're going to live in the fullness of genuine reality, then we live in the fullness of what the kingdom of God is. And the only way that we don't do that is if we create some form of false reality by exalting our soul and the things of this world above who we become in Christ. Now, folks, I know this is a challenge for a lot of Christians out there, but it is the scriptural truth. So we either go with that or we don't. And I help people as much as I can, but I'm telling you, every now and then I run into people that they just will not receive from God's Word. And then all I can do is pray, and that's it. Well, let's talk about the mind, the mouth, and deliverance. Now, some of these verses we're going to look at, we've already looked at in a previous sermon. So in fact, the one we had last time, part 8. Look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to lay a little bit of a foundation with some of these verses into really what we want to head into this morning. In Romans 12, in verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, your spirit's already born again. We don't renew the spirit, it's already renewed. Now what we have to focus on is renewing the mind. transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, where it says, be not conformed, at the beginning of verse 2, that literally does mean, don't remain conformed. So remember, a few moments ago, I talked about how our minds have been programmed to think a certain way. Well, we've got to change that. And he says, through the renewing of your mind, or in other words, what you think. What you think about who you are, what you think about Christ is to you, what you think about who you are in Christ, and so on and so forth. So he says, look, you've got to be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. And look at this verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the more that I use the Word of God, the more the Word of God acts as a two-edged sword. And if I have suppressed the life of my born-again spirit with my soul, my thoughts, my perceptions, my false sense of reality, if I have done that, then the Word of God has the ability to go in there and to start cutting away. Listen, all that stuff of the soul, that brokenheartedness, all that kind of stuff we've been talking about, it's like a cancer. And the Word of God wants to excise that cancer off of your spirit, so that your spirit can rise to the place of prominence in your life. So that the life of God in you can dominate everything about you.
Why ain't nobody going to tell me what to do?
You sad soul. I want God telling me what to do, and I want to be in the place of being fully submitted to what He says. So I take the Word of God, and the Word of God acts like a spiritual scalpel, if you will, and it begins to divide, or it begins to cut away from the soul and the spirit. And it begins to hack at all that stuff of the soul that doesn't line up with the Word of God. All those things that I think. Because I can't find a broken-hearted mindset given to me from God's Word. I can't find it in here. I can't find anxiety given to me out of God's Word. I can't find depression given to me out of God's Word. And on it would go. What I do find in God's Word is everything that He is to me, everything He has promised to me, my healing, my deliverance, everything. It's in here. We'll see some of that here in just a few moments. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And take a look here in verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, I have to cast these imaginations down. Now look what it says. They are imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So from God's perspective, I don't live with anxiety or depression or brokenness. Now that's God's perspective. That is the knowledge God wants me to have. But these other things, these imaginations, He calls them imaginations, meaning they're daydreams. They're not real. To you as a Christian, they're not to be real. They're not to have a place of authority in your life. He says you have to be the one to cast them down. Okay, now think about what this is saying. Oh God, why won't you help me? Take this away from me. I'm tired of feeling this way every day. I'm tired of waking up in the morning with these thoughts of loneliness and despair. I'm tired of this. And God is saying, wait a minute. What does my Word say? My Word says, cast down these imaginations. God, I need you to help me. God says, it's not a problem. I have already helped you. My Word says, cast down the imaginations. Yes, but God, it's too hard. And God says, no, that's what you believe. If it were too hard, I would not have told you to do it. God does not say, I will cast down your imaginations. Why? Because they are our imaginations that we are allowing to exalt above the knowledge of God. So I'm in my imaginative condition, I'm believing God's not helping me, and God is saying, but I have helped you. I'm believing that God isn't moving, when God says, but I have moved. I'm believing God is leaving me like this, when God is saying, it's just an imagination running away with you. He says, cast it down. You cast it down because it's exalting itself against the knowledge of who I am. Look in Philippians chapter 4. And look here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's he tell you to do? Think on those things. Oh, God, what do I do? What do I do? He says, think on these things. But what do I do? What do I do? Think on these things. But I need help. Think on these things. I need deliverance. Think on these things. I can't take this anymore. Think on these things. Can you see what in other words, he's saying, reprogram your mind. Think on these things. You keep thinking depression. You keep thinking how you've been hurt, how you've been done wrong. You keep thinking you're lost. You keep thinking of all of this stuff. And he says, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. But you're going to live in it the rest of your life. And I, as Almighty God, Creator of the universe, can do nothing. I can't help you. But I need help. Think on these things. Now see, when you put it like this, it sounds so simple. But when your mind has not been reprogrammed like this, it sounds complicated. It sounds too simple. It sounds too easy. It sounds unreal. It doesn't sound true. That's because it is an imagination. And he says right here, think on these things. He's telling you how to program your mind. Failure to receive inner healing is in part due to a failure to believe God's Word. I mean, you can narrow it down. Listen, I cannot and I am not telling anybody to stop taking their medication, what their therapist has given. I'm not telling you to do that. But what I'm telling you is this. You can stop taking it. Well, how do you figure that? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, if you let Jesus work this healing work in your life, do you still need the drugs? Well, not really, Brother Martin, but I feel good when I take the... And you're a junkie, man. You got a real problem. Your problem's worse than brokenness. The only difference between you and somebody out there smoking pot is the fact that what you're doing is legal. You're both messing your brains up.
I resent that remark.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. How much arguing are you going to do with the Son of God? I mean, you fuss at me all you want, but how much arguing are you going to do with Him? And what I'm telling you is this. When that healing work has been performed on the inside, you don't need the drugs. Okay, how many of you... Like you've ever had some kind of whatever in your body, and they give you like this prescription for these pills, and they tell you to take them, 5 days, 2 a days, 2 a day, 5 days, 2 a day, 5 days, 2 a day, right? And they take them all, 5 days, 2 a day. So you take them all, 5 days, 2 a day. Well, do you call and ask for a year's supply? No. Why? Now listen to me. Well, why were you taking them to begin with? Because you wanted to get over the infection or whatever it was. You had the congestion. You wanted to get over it. You don't want to be taking those pills the rest of your life. You want to take them 5 days, 2 a day, and boom, that's it. And I expect to be better when it's over. Because I don't want to take these pills the rest of my life. So why not have the same attitude toward this other? Huh? Why not? Why don't you get fed up, sick and tired of having to take your brain pills, your emotion pills, every day? Why don't you have the same attitude toward that? Why don't you want the healing? Why don't you want it? It's in part because somewhere along the line, some devil has lied to you and told you you can't get it. And that's an imagination that's come from Satan, and you don't need to live your life with those lies. What I'm trying to tell you today is that, again, for Christians, there is no excusable reason for a Christian to live in depression day after day after day after day their whole lives. You're a lousy example of what Christ can do for somebody. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has set me free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. Can you see how so many people live with a double standard? Well, again, failure to receive inner healing is in part due to a failure to believe God's Word. Now let's talk more this morning here, today, about God's Word and deliverance. God's Word and this inner healing and the manifestation of this inner healing. And we're going to be focusing on God's Word. We're going to focus on some other things that help in other messages. But today we want to focus on God's Word. Look in Matthew chapter 4. Because what we want to do first off is take a very brief look at the reality and the power of God's Word. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil. And look what Jesus says. Verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I am supposed to live... Now listen, every aspect of my life, according to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, let's look at another verse. Isaiah chapter 55. And look what God says relative to His Word in Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now somebody might say, well, he said it, you know, here we have a book full of his words. He sent them forth, and he said that they won't return void. They'll accomplish everything he wants. So therefore, how come his word isn't accomplishing anything in my life? Very simple. Until you give it access to your life, it won't work. I mean, in His Word, all throughout, I mean, He talks here about, well, for example, we know that in the Word of God, He reveals, you know, for God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him won't perish, get everlasting life. That's His Word. The Bible also says it's not God's will for any to perish, but for all to repent, to come to know Jesus, to have this everlasting life, okay? That's His Word, that's His will. But it doesn't work until we give it access to our life. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, well, until I call upon the name of the Lord, guess what? That word that He spoke cannot work and become active in my life to where it will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish salvation in me. See this? So therefore, if I don't give the Word access to my life, the Word cannot work in my life to produce what God wants. So we've seen here that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And God says, look, my word, once I've spoken it, it will not return unto me void. But when I've spoken it, I've released it. And now that I've released it, it will accomplish what I've sent it forth to accomplish. And if I have said in my word that my Son's anointed to heal the brokenhearted, then those who appropriate that word into their life can begin to see that healing manifested. That anointing will bring about that healing. Now look in Mark chapter 11 with these things in mind. Mark chapter 11. And look what Jesus says here in verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we just read that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did we not read that? We also read where God said, every word that I speak will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the things that I send it forth to accomplish. Then Jesus says, if you believe and you don't doubt, then whatever you say... Now let me paraphrase his words. Your words will not return void, but they will accomplish that which you send them forth to accomplish. Do you think Jesus is talking about just whatever any old whip stitch of a thing we say? Do you not think that when he says, he said in verse 22, have faith in God. God says, live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God says, I've sent my word forth. It will accomplish what I've sent. Therefore, if that's what God says, doesn't it stand to reason that if I begin to speak what God has spoken, that now God and I have come together in agreement according to His Word. And if I start speaking what God has spoken, doesn't it stand to reason that His Word, activated by my speech and what I am saying, has given His Word entrance into my life? And doesn't the Bible say something about the entrance of Thy Word giveth light? Yeah. So now what I'm doing is I am giving the Word that Hebrews chapter 4, 4 verse 12 opportunity to divide asunder from spirit and soul. I'm giving the Word of God access to my life so that it can begin to work in my life to produce those things that God said He wants them to produce. Now let's look at some of these. These three passages we've looked at, Matthew, Isaiah, and Mark, this is the reality and the power of the Word. A lot of other passages we could look at relative to that. But now what we want to talk about is the application of the power. See, you can have a flashlight with brand new batteries, but until you push that little button, you get no light, do you? You have to apply the power by flipping that switch. Well, we want to talk about applying the power. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I shared earlier in this series how that one of the keys to forgiving, or one of the keys to your inner healing, is forgiveness. Forgiving those who have done you wrong. Doesn't matter what they've done. An unconditional forgiveness. No strings attached. They don't owe you an apology. In the body of Christ, we have too much of this. Well, when they apologize. No, they don't owe you an apology. They do not owe you, and the world says differently, and ignorant preachers say differently. From God's Word, we see nothing in there about demanding an apology before you forgive. And so Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now look over in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In the same way that God loves us, He is saying, look, you're supposed to be loving other people. It doesn't matter what they did to you. You don't like what they did. We already know that. But the way that I love... What, you think God doesn't love them because of what they did to you? let's look at this from another angle. Did God stop loving the people that nailed Jesus to the cross? So you think God doesn't love them because of what they did to you? He loves them, surprise, surprise, as much as He loves you. So as God loves us, we're supposed to be loving them. Now, if I'm going to begin to experience the healing, the deliverance of all this, you know, the emotions on the inside that I've been dealing with, one of the things that I have to do is speak what God has spoken. I have to begin to train my mind. Think on these things. I need to begin to train my mind to think along with what God has already said in His Word. I need to reprogram my thinking. And so one of the ways that I do that is by confessing the Word of God. Because the more I put the Word of God in, the more it's going to reprogram my thinking. So I begin to think more and more in line with my healing and my deliverance. So now you take Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, and you turn them into a confession. It goes something like this. I am kind and tender-hearted toward, you know, whatever happened, whoever. And just as God for Christ's sake has forgiven me unconditionally, I unconditionally forgive whoever of what was done to me.
I just can't say that.
Then we've got a deeper problem than just your brokenness. You want to be God.
I do not want to be God.
Yeah. Because what you're saying is, it doesn't matter what God's Word has said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High, and those people will answer to me over what they've done. You know, that cost somebody way back when. You better watch that attitude. Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We read this one earlier. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we take these and we turn them into a confession. In Jesus' name, I cast down every imagination of depression, brokenness, anxiety, hopelessness, and every other emotion that is in opposition to God's life in me. Those thoughts are captive unto me. I am not captive unto them. I live every day by the mind of Christ and God's life which flows through the mind of Christ. Okay, that's right. Some of you aren't getting this. And those of you watching, you too. Let's try this one again. Repeat this after me. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
I cast down every imagination
of depression,
brokenness, anxiety, hopelessness, and every other emotion that is opposition to God's life in me. Those thoughts are captive unto me. I am not captive unto them. I live every day by the mind of Christ and God's life which flows through the mind of Christ. Now look in Philippians chapter 4, in verses 4 and 6 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now I want you guys to repeat this after me. And those of you watching this, you repeat this along too. Help us out here. Hallelujah.
I choose
to rejoice in the Lord. And in my salvation,
regardless of the circumstances around me,
I do not accept any form of brokenness, depressions, or feelings of defeat into my life. I thank you, God, for healing and delivering me. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, protects and fills my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I choose to think and meditate on the things of God, which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, worthy of speaking unto others, full of God's virtue, and for which He is worthy of praise. Now look in John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now repeat this after me. My peace
is not dependent
on the people or circumstances in my life. Jesus has given me His peace. My heart and mind are not troubled or governed by fear, depression, brokenness, or any other destructive emotion. My heart and mind are completely filled and dominated by the holy divine peace of God. Now look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And then 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Now, everybody repeat this after me, including you folks watching. God is working in me to perform His will and His good pleasure in my life. Every day, He works in and perfects His love in me. As He is, so am I in the world. He is not brokenhearted. I am not brokenhearted. He is not depressed. I am not depressed. He is not confused. I am not confused. He is not filled with anxiety. I am not filled with anxiety. He does not worry. I do not worry. There is no fear in His love, and His perfect love has totally conquered all the fear and brokenness that was tormenting me. I am free from all those things. They no longer have any place in my life. I live every day of my life in the good pleasure of God's desire for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now that's just an example of what you can do with these verses. Now here's the thing. What I've just shared with you will work, because it's God's Word. It's not my opinion. This is God's Word. And He says, "My Word is like a two-edged sword." You begin to confess it like this. You begin to introduce it into your life relative to these things. And this stuff that you've been going through, these feelings on the inside, He says, you're going to start cutting it away. You're going to start excising it out of your life. And my life in you, by my Spirit, is going to begin to rise up again, and it will take its place of authority and dominion in your life and suppress those things of the soul, those imaginations that have been trying to exalt themselves over you. Those things that you have been in submission to and didn't even realize, don't even know, can't even explain how they got in that seat of authority of your life. And God says, this is going to change if you'll do this. If you will begin applying this, we'll look at some other things in sermons to come. But today, I have shown you how, if you will take the Word of God and you'll begin to confess it like this. And I mean, look, how long has it taken you to get to this place of this depression or this brokenness? How long have you been dealing with depression, brokenheartedness, whatever? How long have you been dealing with it? These confessions, these are short and sweet. You can add more, create your own. But if you'll do this, continually do this in the morning, do this, you know, throughout the day. Take a few moments at lunchtime, whatever, I don't know. But just keep doing this. Don't be weary in well doing. Keep sowing the Word of God in your life, and you're going to begin to reap the harvest of that peace, the harvest of that joy, the harvest of that strength in your life. And I'm telling you, you will no longer have to cope with these feelings. You will live in victory over these things every day of your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Brother Martin, I'd like to get a copy of those confessions. When the service is over, and don't trample each other getting up here to get them. Those of you watching, if you want a copy of the confessions, we can send them to you. Or you can just listen and, you know, write them down as you go. But if you do request a copy of these confessions, please be very clear what you're requesting. Because sometimes we'll get requests and we don't know what the people are requesting. For example, please send me those things Pastor Martin said at the end of the service. Request the confessions relative to the series on healing the brokenhearted, and we'll know what to send you. But praise God, listen, you know, you cannot, I'm telling you, when you apply the Word of God, you get Word of God results in your life. You can't, just remember the example I gave a little bit ago about the doctor gives you, you know, 5 days, you know, 2 pills a day. Well, you have to take those 2 pills every day for the whole 5 days. Well, likewise, you can't just take 1 pill every other day and expect to get the same results. Won't happen. You've got to make the confessions. Keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking. Well, how long will it take? I don't know. Different for each person. But what I do know is that God's Word can't fail. It will work.